Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. Peace. We hear the words peace on earth, and we might be thinking of the song, peace, peace, peace on earth and goodwill to all. This is a time for... The Romans tell the people of their empire that they are all at peace. The Pax Romana, the Roman peace, brought forth under the strength of legions armed to the teeth, overtaking new lands and telling the people that they had better be peaceful or else they would suffer the wrath of the armies of the empire. That doesn't sound too peaceful, does it? But that is what the Romans called it, the Roman peace, the Pax Romana. It was under the cover of the Roman peace that Jesus was born, in a land occupied by foreign armies, in Israel, which is far western Asia. And Luke wants us to know that Jesus was born into a wider world, so he tells us that Quirinius was governor of Syria. He tells us that Augustus was the Roman emperor. Our story of Christmas begins at the top of society and quickly digresses to the lowly. Mary, an unwed mother, carrying a baby not born of her future husband, Joseph. Travelers, unable for a variety of reasons to be housed in a nice room, but instead ending up living with animals. With a baby lovingly cared for, wrapped in blankets for warmth, and laid in a feed trough after his birth. Why in the world would Luke put the story of the birth of a baby in an occupied territory next to names of the rulers of the biggest empire in the world? The occupied next to the occupier, the weak next to the strong. Well, I think that Luke has a point to prove, that this little baby is and will become more important than Quirinius or Augustus. That is why they are together. Today, do you know who Augustus was? Maybe not. But how about Jesus of Nazareth? Most of us don't know a lot about powers and empires, but we know a lot about the hope and vulnerability of a new mother and a baby. It was Christmas Eve, 1996, and I lived in Buffalo, New York, about 17 years old, and a blizzard was going on. These were not too uncommon. As the lazy, warm, indoor morning developed, my brother, father, and I shoveled, then hopped in the car to head out for a last-minute treat, shrimp cocktail from the grocery store. My brother won the front seat. I sat in the back. As we headed into the blizzard, my father said the roads were bad and there were drifts everywhere. We turned onto the road where the grocery store was. There were no cars on the road at all. Behind a Kmart near the road was a blue and khaki lump in a snowbank. We drove past, me not seeing anything, my brother and father slowly realizing what they saw. There's a body in the snow. We backed up. The figure was in a snowbank that had developed overnight, and the lump was not moving. It was 10:30 in the morning. We asked my father, "What should we do?" He backed the car up some more, pulled into a gas station with a payphone. That's a phone you put money into to call people. And he called 911. He said the thing that seemed right. "We found a body in the snow, and we don't know if the person's alive." We hopped back into the car and drove back to the body, motionless in the snow. The police arrived about 30 seconds later, and all four of us walked over to the snowdrift and began to push snow off of this body. We called out and began to try to figure out what was under the snow. We called out things like, "Are you okay? Can you hear us?" There was no movement for a moment, then a response, a grumble into snow. And then a man materialize fully from the snowbank. We introduced ourselves. His name was Clarence. He said he had nowhere to sleep, so he just laid down. He wasn't near any stores or houses, just out next to a field. We asked the police officer about a shelter. Our town didn't have one shelter at all, with 150,000 people trying to live there. He said the best he could do is make up something so he could bring Clarence to the little jail at the police station where he'd be warm and get food and medical care. So off they drove. No handcuffs, nothing like that. Clarence just sitting in the back seat, beginning to thaw out. Clarence in the snowdrift, with no place to sleep on Christmas Eve. He may be the epitome of vulnerability, but you know what? We're vulnerable too. Many of us look and watch this Christmas Eve video, knowing that in this season we may be more vulnerable and sad than we have been in many years. Some have lost jobs and health care. We've lost people we love, either relationally or to death. Maybe we are sick, or we have been. Many are definitely worried about COVID, catching it, and also what it's doing to our world. We come with our vulnerability to witness this birth in Bethlehem, and we kneel down and say out loud or in our hearts, "It has been a year." Oh, has it really been a year? Well, almost. And we miss each other, and we wish it were different. And all of us know people who've had COVID, and some of us have loved people who have died from COVID. And we are scared and angry and lonely and distraught, stuck in our own snowbank at the side of life's road. It gets quiet and more still than usual as we read the story of Jesus from Luke. And I cannot help but thinking that the stillness comes because we see Jesus' vulnerability, and in it we see our own. The truth is that each of us and all of us, whether dressed in our holiday best to watch this video or still in our PJs from 4 days ago, have been indelibly marked by the everyday hardships of this life, and so are well acquainted with the frailty of the unlikely lead characters of Luke's story, namely Jesus, but also Mary and Joseph. Instinctively, we feel for them. And each Christmas, we are simultaneously surprised, humbled, and encouraged to hear the promise that God is at work through them for each of us. Clarence was not left in the snowbank. Jesus did not remain the vulnerable newborn. You and I are not stuck forever in our hurt and most raw vulnerability. Unlocked from the cold freeze of night, Jesus comes to meet us in our time of need. That is the hope of Christmas, that Jesus was born for each one of us, to meet us where we're at, in a proverbial snowbank or a real one. The promise of Christmas lands Jesus squarely with you and with me, not with the emperor or the governor, but with each of us. God takes on the perishable body of a child, a human being, so that we might have light and life. That baby was born in a stable for you and me. Jesus does not enter human history with his birth. He enters our history, yours and mine. God became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and dwelt in you and me to offer hope and salvation. Each of us is vulnerable, and each of us is strengthened by the life of a little child, God's Son, who comes to each of us and begs us to follow him. Amen. Merry Christmas.